answer to your question. Unfortunately, when the Mashaykh, they don't understand English, they're speaking Arabic, some things get lost in translation as is well known. But alhamdulillah, our Shaykh Hafizullah is able to understand English and Arabic, so therefore the benefit is greater, inshallah. Also as well, as you know, he's delivering the lectures in English as well. And you benefit, for those of you who do know Arabic, you benefit from the Arabic that he gives in the lecture. Alhamdulillah, the topics that we're covering are topics which are pertinent to all of the Muslims living in the West. And I say that because the issues we face and the problems we have as Muslim youth or Muslim elders, parents or children, is regards to things which are how to establish an Islamic family, how to act accordingly as a husband or as a wife, or also as well how to act with regards to marital rights and stuff like that. A lot of Muslims get lost when it comes to these things in the West because the examples you have in front of you are not Islamic. So in some cases women may imitate the non-Muslim women or practices which they picked up over here or they pick up here, and it's not befitting. Likewise the men as well. So inshallah the session today or the lecture today inshallah will be addressing issues pertaining to establishing an Islamic household, the rights of the wife and the rights of the husband, and other issues which are along that topic. Inshallah, without further ado, I'll give you over to our esteemed Shaykh Muhammad Maliki. Tafadhal.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والرحمة المهداة للعالمين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين وعلى آله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وصحابته الغر الميامين وبالأخص منهم الخلفاء الأربعة الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي ومن استنى بسنته مهتدى بهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، حياكم الله أيها الإخوة إلى هذا الفصل من فصول هذه الدورة. You're welcome to this part or chapter of the conference held at this time in the ICT, which is related to a very sensitive and important subject, not only concerning the people living in the West, but concerning all Muslims anywhere in the world. هذا الموضوع هو من الأهمية بمكان، كما قلت ليس للمسلمين الذين يعيشون في بلاد الغرب كأقليات، ولكن أيضا لكل مسلم على وجه الأرض. The importance of this، يعني أهمية هذا الموضوع تأتي من أن الإنسان لا استغناء له عنه. The importance of this topic comes from the point that no one would be or no one would be found himself with no need to this subject. وهذا الموضوع هو موضوع النكاح. It is the marriage issue. الإخوة وضعوا جدول لثلاث حصص ونحن نريد أن ندمج جميع هذه المواضيع والعناوين فنسير كورشة عمل ثم نقطع يعني بين وقت وآخر باستراحة حتى يكون هناك تجديد، لأن الموضوع من الأهمية بمكان أن يكون متصل مرتبط، والحمد لله أنه جدول في هذا اليوم الذي هو إجازة للجميع، فكنتم قد استرحتم في نهاركم، والآن إن شاء الله تستطيعون الانتباه والتركيز. As I said that the program was planned that this topic will have three sessions today, but I combined it because it is very sensitive, so it needs to be united together. We're going to go from now until we finish as a workshop and break inshallah at a time when you feel that you need to have some refreshment and rest. And yani the good thing that it was planned for today, Sunday, most of you was yani off today from work, so you had enough rest, you are fresh, you can now focus on what we say. And please try not to get yourself busy with anything. No cell phones, no talks to your friends. Even if you have anything you want, you missed and you want to confirm about, please ask me. And any time you can just raise your hand and ask. But let's stick to the topic. Naam? Right. يقول الله عز وجل الله تعالى says as in the Quran يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Are you mankind? Fear Allah, the one who created you out of one soul, which is Adam عليه السلام. خلقكم من نفس واحدة يا آدم. لكن انظر إلى الأمر. Look to the command. اتقوا الله. Fear Allah. ما أحوجنا أولا قبل أن ندلف إلى أي موضوع، ما أحوجنا أن نعرف التقوى، لأننا كلنا نتكلم عن التقوى لكن قل منا من فعلا يكون عنده التقوى. How much we need to know what is the taqwa, because most of us know the taqwa, talks about taqwa, but very little number of us who really practice the taqwa. التقوى يا إخوان هي أن تجعل بينك وبين عذاب الله وقاية. تقوى basically means that you build up a protection between you and the punishment of Allah. كيف تبني هذا؟ How you're going to build up this جدار تبني؟ It's not a wall that you go and build it. إنه الإحسان. It is the perfection. فتجعل نفسك في مقام المحسنين. So you put yourself in the position of the people of perfect. الله عز وجل يقول يا أيها الذين اتقوا يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم. التقوى كما يعرفها علي رضي الله عنه يقول التقوى as علي رضي الله عنه يعني explains it يرحمك الله. He says هي الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والقناعة بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. It is to fear الجليل which is Allah and to act upon the revelation whether the Quran or the Sunnah. to get ready and to get sufficient with what Allah Ta'ala gives you, even if it is little, even if it is just little, and to get ready for the hereafter. استعداد ليوم الرحيل هذا منذ أن تموت. إذا مات الإنسان بدأ قيامته. When the person dies, his قيامة begins. يبدأ حسابه. His judgment begins. نعم. إذن هنا سؤال. Here is a question. لماذا قدم الله عز وجل آية النكاح بالتقوى؟ لماذا أمر بالتقوى عند الحديث عن آية يعني بيان أصل الإنسان؟ Why Allah تعالى began with calling to تقوى when he speaks about how يعني the man originated or created. هناك لطيفة, there is a benefit here, وهي أن الإنسان أن الإنسان قبل النكاح لطيف ومحسن وبعد النكاح شرس. ليس كل الناس لكن في كثير من الأحيان. It is because before the marriage you see both of them ما شاء الله nice and good to each other, and after marriage they become something different. They become something different. Yes, it is not all mankind like that, but the majority of them are like that. يبدأ الزوج يظلم الزوجة. The husband starts obviously the wife. والزوجة تفتري على الزوج, and the wife lying about the husband. نعم. وهكذا كل هذا سببه عدم التقوى أو ضعف التقوى. All this, the cause behind it is either the absence of تقوى or that the تقوى is very very little. وهنا نحتاج أن نعرف كيف ننمي التقوى, and here we need to know how we increase our تقوى. وهذا نكرره دائما, نقول بالأعمال الصالحة, بالأعمال الصالحة. And we always repeat this and we say by the good deeds, by the good deeds. يعني تحرص أن تكون مثل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مظهرك, في سلوكك, في تعاملك, في عبادتك, في اعتقادك, دائما تكون مثل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, تحاول أن تكون على هدي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يحصل لك التقوى. So you can gain the taqwa, you need to always try to be upon the way of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, in your manners, in your characters, when you deal with others, when you deal with your family, when you worship Allah Ta'ala and your belief, you need to be as what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be. نعم. إذا حصل هذا وحصل التقوى أبشر بكل خير. عندها تجد أنك لا تحب أن تظلم أحد, ليس قولا أن كل الناس يقول أنا ما أحب أظلم, لكن لما تنظر إلى واقع حياة تجدهم أكثر الناس ظلما للناس. When you practice these things which I told you about, then you will find yourself, you do not want to oppress no one, you do not want to be harsh with no one. Yes, most of us now claim that, oh, I don't want to oppress no one. But when you come to the practical field, you find that you are oppressing almost everyone. لماذا؟ لأن التقوى إما غائبة أو ضعيفة. Why? Because the taqwa either absent or weak. نعم. ونبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أراد أن يخطب امرأة قدم بخطبة الحاجة. انظر إلى هذا يعني الفقه الذي نحتاجه اليوم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم whenever he يعني ask a woman for marriage, propose a woman for يعني marriage, he صلى الله عليه وسلم used to begin with خطبة الحاجة. Look to the fiqh that we need today. Why he صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني precise to begin with خطبة الحاجة. There must be a reason and a benefit. لأن خطبة الحاجة لما تنظر فيها تجد أنها كلها تذكير بتقوى الله والأسباب المؤدية لتقوى الله. Because when you think of خطبة الحاجة you find it all as يعني a reminder of تقوى الله and how to reach تقوى الله, how to be أبن تقوى الله. You all know خطبة الحاجة, إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه etc. to the end of it. نعم. إذن لا بد من تقوى الله, وبدون تقوى الله كل كلامنا لن يجدي نفعا والنصائح لا تنفع. Without تقوى الله all the advice you are given cannot be worth it. Cannot be worth it. لماذا؟ لأن هناك أشياء بين الرجل وزوجته لا يعلمها إلا الله. يستطيع أن يكذب, يستطيع أن يقول أي شيء, وهي كذلك. من الذي يعلم هذا؟ الله. فإذا لم يكن عندهم تقوى من الله ما الذي يوقفهم عن ذلك؟ There are many things between the husband and wife that only Allah Ta'ala knows about. So if they both do not have the تقوى then they are not going to respect Allah. They are going to lie, they are going to oppress, they are going to نعم. إذن على الإنسان أن ينتبه لهذا قبل أن نبدأ في موضوعنا. Before we begin our topic we just mention that النكاح أمر جبلي جعله الله عز وجل في طبيعة البشر, بل حتى الحيوانات, بل حتى النباتات تجد هناك تزاوج حتى يحصل التكاثر. Allah Ta'ala made it from the nature of mankind as well as animals as well as even the يعني vegetations and the trees and plants, and they have male and female, male and female, so that you can have the continuity of this kind of this type of creation. نعم. يقول الله عز وجل كما في آية النساء يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. All you people, all you mankind, fear your Lord, the one who created you out of one soul and created from it its spouse, and from them both lot يعني the men and women, and fear Allah, the one who you ask each other's with. You always say, swear by Allah that you do this for me. Now, والأرحام, and also fear الأرحام. Why? الأرحام are the worms. نعم. Fear the relationships, the kinship. Fear not to break it, because once you break it, you put yourself on risk. الأرحام هي أقرباؤك من جهة أبيك وأمك، they one or the arham as your relatives, your kinship from your father's side and your mother's side. Now, you feel you don't boycott them, you don't sit in enmity with them, because if you do so, Allah Ta'ala will raise His protection from you and support. Now, النبي صلى الله عز وجل كما في سورة النساء في الآية الثالثة منها يقول فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاثة ورباع. الله عز وجل يحسنا، وهذا أمر قال بعض أهل العلم يقتضي الوجوب عند القدرة. قال بعض أهل العلم أن الأمر بالنكاح يقتضي الوجوب عند القدرة، وعند عدم القدرة يصار إلى العلاج، وهو ما يأتي معنا. The people of knowledge, أهل العلم, said that marriage is obligatory whenever the person is able to. Whenever the person is able to. And when he is not able to, then there is some other treatment that we are going to explain later on. إذا فانكحوا ما طاب لكم النساء، هذا جعل للرجال، جعل للرجال. This is for the men to marry as they wish. مثنى اثنتين، two wives، أو ثلاث زوجات، three wives، أو أربع، أو رباع يعني أربع زوجات، four wives. الرجل مأمور بأن يتزوج. The man is commanded to marry. ومأذون له أن يعدد. And he is permitted to practice the polygamy. لكنه مأمور الذي يغيب عن كثير من الأزواج ذوي امرأة واحدة، فكيف بذوي زوجتين وثلاث وأربع. He is allowed to marry, to practice polygamy, to marry more than one, but he is at the same time commanded to be just. Justice which is absent in marriages of one wife. Some husbands are not even just with one single wife. What about it with two, with three, with four wives? نعم. إذن الإنسان مطالب بأن يكون عادلا. إذا كان عنده القدرة وهو يعدل يعدل، لا حرج. بل هذا أمر مستحب في الشريعة، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الحديث عند البيهقي والترمذي بسند صحيح تناكحوا فإني مكاثر بكم الأمم يوم القيامة. So person is commanded to marry once and encouraged to marry more than one wife and up to four. نعم. And this is for a purpose. As in the hadith of Bayhaq and Tirmidhi, Rasulullah said, marry as I'm going to as I wish to see my ummah the largest on the day of resurrection. And this can only be through marriage and getting children. Naam. لكن كما قلنا ينبغي التنبه للعدل. But as we said, we have to think of the justice. لأن كما قلت لكم أن كثير من الإخوة يظلمون مع الزوجة الواحدة. كيف يظلمون مع الزوجة الواحدة؟ Some of the brothers they have no justice even with one single wife. هاو تجده مثلا طيلة النهار خارج البيت. You find him, for example, all the time is out of the house. والمرأة حبيسة الحيطان. And the wife is in between the walls of the house. As a prisoner. نعم. وتجده يأتي من الخارج يأمر وينهى ويغضب ويصرخ ويفعل ويضرب. And you might see him coming from outside late, and he starts screaming and cursing and hitting. And هذا ليس من العدل وليس من المروءة. This is not from the justice, know that it is from the decency. فالرجل ينبغي أن يكون يعني عاقل. The man must be wise. نعم. فيعدل بين نفسه وزوجته وأبنائه ووالدته. يجب أن يكون عدلا، لأن الله عز وجل يقول الرجال قوامون على النساء. ما قيمة هذه القوامة إن كان هو لا يستطيع أن يعدل ولا يستطيع؟ الله تعالى says that the men have the right over the woman because he's given more ability to handle this thing and control it. So what is the benefit of قوامة given to him if he's not going to be just? Even with one single wife, some of them beat and bunch their wives. Subhanallah. نعم. على كل حال anyway, الزواج مطلب شرعي. Marriage is something wanted by the شريعة. نعم. ينبغي أن نصير إليه. لكن نعم، ومن لم يستطع الزواج ماذا يصنع؟ Whoever cannot marry financially or something like that, what can he do? عليه بالصوم. عليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح: يا معشر الشباب، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج، فإنه أغض للبصر وأحصل للفرج، ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. He said, all youth, whoever amongst you is capable financially to marry, tell him then to marry, as it is a protection for his siding and for his private parts and or sexual desires. And whoever is not able to, then let him to fast, as fast is going to be a control of the sexual desire. كيف هذا؟ نحن نعلم أن الشهوة إنما تتولد عن الطعام. We know that the sexual desire only found because of food. نعم. فعندما يصوم الإنسان يضعف جسمه ويضعف إنتاج المادة المنوية عنده، فيقل تقل شهوته للجنس للجماع ورغبته للجماع. We know that the person whenever he is fasting he has a low process of reducing the semen, which means the process of sexual desire is less, and the need of the sexual desire is less. يمكن في البداية يعني بعض الناس يقول لا لكن جربت الصوم. نعم في البداية ممكن لأن ما زال عندك طاقة. Maybe at the beginning when you start practicing fasting you still find yourself, because yes, you just started. Let the body get يعني use of the power in it and it consume it, then you find that نعم that you become. ولذلك لما علم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن عبد الله ابن عمرو بن العاص يصوم متصل وكذلك أبو الدرداء نهاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهاهم إن لزوجك عليك حق. And that's why when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was told that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As and Abu Darda fast continuously, he warned them against that. And he said to both of them, your wife has a right with you. And the insan إذا صام باستمرار يضعف من ناحية الجنسية. Because the person, when he fasts continuously, he get weak in, يعني, and they say in the desire. هذا في مجتمع مثل مجتمع المدينة أيام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is in a community like the community of Medina at the time of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال لهم صوموا. He said to them, if you are not able to marry, then fast. أما هنا نقول حتى من يستطيع, هنا في الغرب نقول حتى من يستطيع الزواج يصوم. Here we say even those who are able to marry, they should fast. لكثرة الفتن التي ترى في الطرقات. For the massive fitan that you see in the streets and في القطار and the train في الحافلات and the buses في كل مكان. ليس الفتنة أنك ترى امرأة عارية أو شبه عارية فقط, تجدهم يقبلون بعض ويفعلون أمامك فتتعرف الغريزة. لذلك نقول يا إخوة أنتم هنا في الغرب معنيون بصيام النوافل أكثر من غيركم. That's why we say you brothers living in the West, you more than any others يعني recommended to fast the optional fasting. To do have the, some of the control to the desire. نعم خصوصا الذين كانوا متحولين من يعني دين آخر الإسلام, لأنهم قبل هذا التحول كانت المسائل عندهم يعني مفلوتة منفلت عليهم نعم بدون حدود. Especially those who are يعني converted to Islam from other religions, because before they converted it was يعني something of a kind of myth open every day with a woman and the woman the same thing. But when Allah Ta'ala guided them to Islam, alhamdulillah, they practiced, they started controlling. But because they do not practice fasting يعني, so often, they get affected with the images that they see on the street. And so they go, يعني, they declare like that. نعم فلذلك ينبغي أن ننظر. وكذلك نقول للأخوات اتقين الله. And also we tell our sisters, fear Allah. لا تمانع زوجك من أن يتزوج عليك. Do not object your husband to marry another one. بل حرضيه وشجعيه على ذلك. However, I say encourage him to do that, to marry other women. 2, 3, 4 لسببين, for 2 reasons. أولا أن هذا يحفظه لك من أن يذهب إلى الساقطات ويأتيك بأمراض, because this will protect him from falling into the trap of the prostitutes outside in the street, and he might come back to you with diseases. والأمر الثاني أن هناك كثير من الأخوات أسلمنا دخلنا في الإسلام وكانت قبل الإسلام كل ليلة تنام مع رجل إن شاءت لا ضوابط ولا شيء. الآن لما أسلمت أصبحت وحدها, تريد مؤنس, تريد من يقضي وطرها, ما تجد, لأن كل واحدة من أخواتي المسلمات تقول زوجي لا يتزوج وإن تزوجت أطلب الطلاق والأولاد أخذهم وأفعل وأفعل. هذا ليس من الإسلام, هذا ليس من الإسلام. هي أسلمت لكن لا زالت تعيش بعقل الكافرات. So some of our sisters يعني insist to object the polygamy whatsoever. And she says, if he marries again, I'm going to claim for divorce, I'm going to take the kids, I'm going... So she became Muslim, but she's still with the mentality of the kafirat. وهذا خطأ يا أخوان. هذا لا يساعدنا في بناء مجتمع إسلامي جيد. This does not help us in building up the Muslim, the good Muslim community. ونحافظ عليه بيننا. And we protect it between us. نعم. لذلك يا إخوة ويا أخوات يجب أن نفهم هذه الأمور فهما جيدا. عليكم السلام. So we have to يعني understand this very well. لما يريد الإنسان أن يتزوج هناك أمور ينبغي أن ينظر إليها أو يبحث عنها في المرأة وكذلك المرأة تبحث عنها في الرجل. When the person wants to get married, there are certain things that he needs to check out and find with the woman that he is going to marry. And she also needs to look for certain things to be found with this person. ولا يكون والله يعني أنا رأيتها فأعجبتني وهي رأتني فأعجبتها. هذا غلط يا أخي. And it is not just because I saw her and I liked her and she saw me and she liked me. لا. هذا غلط يا أخوان. هذا غلط. في الإسلام لا نبني زواجاتنا بهذه الطريقة. نحن لا نرى ثم نتزوج. يعني نخطب. نذهب نخطب بصدق وكذا. فإن أعجبت المرأة الرجل والرجل المرأة تزوجا. We don't first of all see and then marry. I mean, see in the street. But we first of all go propose and then see. And then the choice is given to the man and the woman if they agree. نعم. المرأة التي دعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى نكاحها هي ذات الدين. وأخبرنا في الحديث عند مسلم عند البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما and he صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about the characteristics that we the men should look for when we want to marry or propose a woman as in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim and others. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم تنكح المرأة لأربع. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said that a woman is married for four reasons or purposes. لمالها for his world يعني هي غنية. الرجل يريد أن يكون يعني عنده دعم مالي وكذا. That she is rich and he wants to have some financial support, so that why he marry her. لجمالها, for that she is very pretty. نعم. لحسبها, for that she is from so and so family or tribe. ولدينها, and for her religion, and for فظفر بذات الدين. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فظفر. الظفر ما هو؟ الظفر هو الفوز. كأنك كنت في معركة شديدة ثم انتصرت. Here فظفر means يعني like if you are fighting in a battle. Strong, يعني a hard battle, and then you win. So it has very test. نعم. فظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. تربت يعني إذا لم تأخذ صاحبة الدين كأنك ملئت يديك ترابا. يعني كأن رجل كان ينتظر ذهب فإذا به وضع تراب في يده. تراب لا قيمة له. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, get the one of religion, otherwise you're someone who extended his hand for gold, but soil is put instead. Soil is given to him instead. And soil has no value. نعم. إذن الرجل يعني يبحث عن المرأة الصالحة. يبحث عن المرأة الصالحة. إذا خطب الرجل المرأة when the man proposed a woman له أن ينظر إليها, له أن ينظر إليها, وهذه تسمى النظرة الشرعية, وهذه تسمى النظرة الشرعية. فلو أن ينظر إلى وجهها ويديها, ولا شك أنه ينظر إلى شعرها ونحرها لا حرج, لكن الصدر ويعني ما فوق الركبة لا. When the man proposes a woman, he has the right to see her, her face, her hair, her neck, but the chest, no. Her hands and her يعني feet and half of the shin, but not above that. نعم. فينظر إليها نظرة شرعية بحضور محرم لها, أو يعني إن لم يكن محرم فينظر إليها بطريقة وآلية معينة حتى لا يكون هناك خلوة. يعني he looks to her and she looks to him as well, she has the right to see him. But يعني if she's from a Muslim family, then a mahram from a Muslim family must attend. So no khalwa, they are not left alone. And if there is not a Muslim mahram, then يعني he can see her in a way that assure that there is no khalwa between them, right? He just يعني see what is نعم what can guide him to attract him to marry her. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ارجع فانظر أحرى أن يؤدم بينكما. When one of the صحابة يعني proposed the woman, he asked him, did you see her? He said no. He said go back and see her, this is better for the يعني يعني the what we say the constant relation, so that you love each other and you remain with each other. Now, عقد النكاح, عقد النكاح هذه الوثيقة التي تفرق بين الحلال والحرام. The marriage, the contract of marriage, this is the document that differentiates between the halal and haram. نعم. وعقد النكاح له ركنان أو له نعم له ثلاثة أركان. The contract of marriage has three main pillars. الأول أن يكون الزوجان خاليان. طيب قبل أن نبدأ في موضوع أركان النكاح,
before we move on to the next topic or the next point, there's two questions relating to the last point that have been sent forward. So inshallah, I think so that it corresponds with ourselves first. The first question asked is, how much can the brother and sister intending to marry give each other, and can the sister use enhancements in a meeting, i.e. a padded bra? He covered a bit about how much they can see of each other, so on that regard, enhancement shape, like a padded bra. Because obviously you can't ask the question. That's the first question. The second question is
don't we need to have the answer?
Yeah.
Is the question to me or to them?
To you, sir.
I thought he's going to ask you. طيب say the question again.
The question is, how much can the brother, you mentioned that the brother can see, for example, the hair and the arms and some of the shin and stuff like that. Can the sister use enhancements like in a meeting, like a padded bra? Enhancements to make herself look more...
No, no. This is not allowed. No, this is haram. This is haram. And, yani, she should come as Allah Ta'ala created her. Yani, when the sister, yani, does yani, a lot of makeup and, you know, like this bra or something like that, and then... Yani, mashallah, you see something. And then, when you get married, you know, oh, what is that? It's only slim, skinny woman. Then it's a kind of cheap. No. Just as Allah created her, and as we said, the face, the hair, the hands, like that.
The other question, Sheikh, is a bit more serious question. I get asked a lot, is it allowed for the brother to ask the sister who's intending to marry questions about her sexual past, because she's a reaver and he's a reaver, and he wants to know about her sexual past, and link to that to get health tests, like to make sure that she or he hasn't got STDs.
In regard to the yani medical tests and like that, this is good and encouraged, but to ask about the past, no, it is not allowed. It's not, especially yani if they are both reverts. Alhamdulillah, she, yani, you don't know how the woman before Islam, you don't know what she done. Without telling you, we all know how they act outside in the Western, yani, in the West, the whole West. It is not shame for a girl to have a boyfriend, isn't it? To them, to the kuffar, it is not shame. However, it is shame that she does not. After her, what happened with you? Are you sick? Why you don't have a boyfriend? You know? So you know that how she might was, you know. But yani, you both go and do yani medical tests, this is something good. It's something good for protection. Maybe she carries some serious diseases, or maybe you. So by this, and at least each one yani feel safe. And that's what now it is obligatory in Saudi, by the way. It become obligatory in Saudi to have the test. Although, alhamdulillah, we have less of this honor crime than here. But we still, I mean, have it obligatory there, alhamdulillah.
And just the last point is one of the things about ability to get married. We've heard from some of the mashaykh that ability means that the person in the hadith of the Messenger of Rasul said that whoever is able to get married, what it refers to is that they are not majnoon, they're not insane, and that they are not that they're able to, that they're balig, they can have relations, sexual relations, they're able to satisfy a wife, basically.
What will the majnoon do? The majnoon will still have the sexual desire. What will he do? He catching a woman in the street because he's majnoon? I first time hear that. But if the woman knows, yani she is told that he is suffering of this, he is majnoon, or he is sick, or like that, and she accepts, fast, alhamdulillah. But the ability meant in the hadith, and Rasulullah is going to tell the majnoon, fast if you cut, if you are majnoon, just fast. Okay, in the hadith, I don't know which alim he said that. I doubt if it is alim, maybe it's your observation. Otherwise, how come an alim say that the Prophet ﷺ is talking to the Majaneen and telling them, because you are Majnoon, you are unable so fast. Majnoon, Ramadan, he does not have to fast, which is obligatory. No? But it means the yani, money-wise, the financial ability. If he is able to open up a house and spend on the family, then he gets married. If he cannot, he is poor, now, and he could not find yani, a woman to accept him as a poor person, then he passed. In order to have himself controlling the sexual desire. Allah. That's it. Can you take from the floor? After?
Yeah.
طيب. نرجع إلى موضوع أركان الزواج. We go back to the pillars of marriage. قلنا أن هناك ثلاث أركان للزواج. We said that there are three conditions for marriage. هذه الشروط أو عفوا three pillars. هذه الأركان these pillars are. الأول أن يكون الزوجان خاليان من الموانع التي تمنع صحة النكاح. ما هي الموانع؟ يعني the first pillar is that both man and woman are free from anything that can prevent the marriage. What these things are? يعني أن لا تكون المرأة في العدة. The woman is not in the period after divorcing or after يعني husband passed away. Now in this period the عدة, she's not allowed to marry until the عدة is over. Right? وكذلك إذا كان الرجل عنده أربع نساء ما يجوز له أن ينكح الخامسة. لا يجوز له أن ينكح الخامسة. نعم. And even when four wives he cannot marry the fifth حتى يطلق أخرى. سؤال, أنا عندي لكم سؤال. I have a question for you now. رجل عنده أربع نساء, رجل عنده أربع نساء و وجد امرأة يريد أن يتزوجها, متى يستطيع أن يتزوج هذه المرأة؟ A man has four wives and he wants to marry. When can he marry this one? الذي يعرف الرأي. نعم. لما يطلق الأخرى. خطأ. نعم. ها؟ أربعة. ليش تريد تموتها؟ طيب ما نفس الشيء. قالوا إذا طلق إحدى يعني صار عنده ثلاثة, لكن أيضا خطأ. One said if he divorces one, I said wrong. The other said when one of these four wives passed away, I said also wrong. نعم. If the sister wants to divorce the husband, the sister can. The sister cannot divorce that. The wife cannot divorce the husband. It's not like in the West here. In the West, everyone can divorce the other. And I hear recently that the child can divorce any of the parents. And that's the top technology they, mashallah, got by the advanced. And a very advanced technology they have now. That the child, when they there are a lot of arguments between the father and mother, they go say خلاص you are not good for each other, yalla divorce, you are divorced and you are divorced. Subhanallah. Now it's also wrong. Who can tell me? Now we are asking the men, if you cannot answer this question, we say you all cannot practice polygamy. All the wives now will say inshallah they cannot answer. Including my wife. You cannot? No, you can't. Yeah, but how come? He has four wives. They all cannot produce a child. So, how come he married? He gets the fifth? Yeah? Fifth is not allowed. No. Slave? Slave is not a wife. After the Idda has finished. That's the correct answer. Yani he divorces one and he must have the Idda. This is the only time when the man can have Idda. This is the only time when the man has Idda. So the man has to wait for the Idda of the wife that he divorces. He cannot divorce today and go marry. Now, he cannot divorce one and right away go and marry one. No. He must wait for the Idda. He must wait for the Idda. طبعاً, what the brother said is also correct. If one of the wives died, he does not have to wait for Idda. Right away he can marry. No? And then I don't know who he wished to die. Which one of them? طيب إذن هذا هو الركن الأول من أركان النكاح. ما الركن الأول؟ What is the first pillar يا أخوان؟ ها؟ Excellent. That there are no nothing can stop them, or no what we say, what can we say that موانع. Yeah, nothing prevents them, and we want to explain that prevent them, because someone might say, oh, maybe the father of the girl. No. Prevent them, yani, as with the legislation, because if the woman is still in the iddah, he cannot marry. She cannot marry until the iddah is over. Yeah? And they cannot propose, by the way. They cannot propose. They cannot come and say, yani, after you finish the iddah, I want to marry you. Now, this is haram. This is haram. Now, and also, one other preventer, it is when one of them is in the ihram, in the state of ihram, it's forbidden to fit up the marriage when one of them is in the ihram. Yeah? And also, if the woman has someone proposed her, so for the second he cannot go and propose her or marry her. So it's a prevent. He should wait until this first proposal, whether to go or to stop. If it goes, khalas. If it stops, then he can go on. Now, the second pillar, also from things that prevent, is that this woman is considered to be one of his maharim. Like, if she is his aunt, auntie, if she is his sister, but not as from the same father or the same mother. But they both were breastfed by a different woman, a third woman, or from one breast. Now, then they cannot marry. Now, I say this because here in the West, they don't consider this yani nothing. Do they hear yani take rida as the preventer? No. Right. The second, الركن الثاني هو الأذان. أذان. Huh? 1 minute. That 1 minute is not enough. Take the 1 minute and make that call that. الثاني هو الإيجاب. الإيجاب والقبول. الإيجاب هو الثاني والثالث هو القبول. يعني هذه أركان النكاح. الإيجاب من قبل ولي الزوجة. والقبول من قبل الزوج. يعني يقول ولي الزوجة, يعني الإيجاب من ذي إيش تسمون الإيجاب؟ نعم. أفضل الأفضل. And this is from the side of the wali of the woman, the father or like that, the brother. He says, يقول زوجتك موليتي أو ابنتي فلانة. He says, يقول له زوجتك موليتي أو ابنتي. I think so. He says, I allow you to marry my daughter or my sister, like that. والقبول من جهة الزوج. إذا لم يترفض بالقبول ما يعتبر هذا النكاح. لابد أن يترفض. He must pronounce it. He must say it. He must say that he accepted. The one who proposed. He must say, yes, I accepted to marry your daughter so and so. By her name. نعم. فهذه هي يعني أركان النكاح. هذه أركان النكاح. وإن شاء الله نكمل بعد الصلاة مع شروط النكاح وما إلى ذلك. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يرزقنا حسن الاستماع وحسن العمل. وأن يوفقنا للهداية والسداد. والله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله. استغفر.